recapitulate what we have been doing. We have been talking about the Ten Commandments, about the virtues, and we have been discussing how the Ten Commandments, they are the path that our Lord, that God himself has given us so that we may follow, so that we may encounter him, so we come back to the place that we belong. And the Ten Commandments that are crowned with the with love, that it is out of love that God gave us the Ten Commandments. And the virtues that we receive in the sacrament of baptism, faith, hope, and charity, these are the gifts that God gives us, and is God himself giving himself to the creature, enriching the soul of the creature with himself. And now we have to remember also that our soul is that temple that is not made by human hands, but it is the temple of God. And in the sacrament of baptism, God descends into that temple. In the same way that God, the presence of God, descended in the Old Testament when the temple was built and was finished, and when King Solomon called upon the presence of God, called upon God, and the presence of God was in the temple, descend in the temple and remain there. In the Holy of Holies, now our soul is the temple of God himself, and God descends. And the moment that he descends into that temple and the temple is being sanctified, it is in the sacrament of baptism. And then we are enriched with God himself, giving himself to us in the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. So we have been talking about all of this in the past couple of months, and today we will continue to talk about the virtues, and we are going to talk about the hours of the Passion. All these virtues that we have been studying, the gift that God gives us, they are all points that we have to see as little steps that we must take in order to reach that perfection in which we are called to live. Through the gift given to us, through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, the gift of living in the divine will, all these virtues, they receive new strength, and they are enriched, so that through every action that we do, all these virtues, they receive help. We talk about the cardinal virtues and how these virtues are needed, and how these virtues, they are acquired by repetition. They are not free gifts, like the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. The gift of prudence, temperance, strength, and justice, they need to be obtained by repetition, by us moving our will, inclining our will towards those virtues by repetition. In the hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus repairs throughout his whole life. Since the moment of the incarnation, our Lord Jesus repaired. He began that reparation. But in the hours of the Passion, we see in a very human way and in a very atrocious way too, how this reparation is being done. So in the 24 hours of the Passion, that they begin with our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Mother. I want to talk about the Blessed Mother a little bit tonight. The 24 hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, they begin with the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus. and they end with the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus. Our Blessed Mother leaving the body of our Lord Jesus in the tomb. At the foot of the cross, our Lord Jesus offers himself to the Father. And the Blessed Mother is there present. The Blessed Mother, the new Eve, is there present. The new Adam and the new Eve giving themselves to the Father. Notice that this is the opposite of what happened in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve, that were created in the state of grace, they misused their freedom, their free will, they used it to separate themselves from the Eternal Father, losing all the gifts that they possess, the gift of locution, the gift of perfect knowledge, the gift of bilocation. They lost that through their disobedience. The new Adam and the new Eve at the foot of the cross, offering themselves to the Father in obedience. They obtain for us the grace that Adam and Eve took away from us, that they lost. In obedience to the Father, the new Adam, Jesus himself, surrenders to the Father, and the Blessed Mother, the new Eve, offering herself in union with the new Adam to the Father, and the whole human race being reconciled. At the foot of the cross, we find the explosion of love and forgiveness. It's an explosion of love and forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus forgiving everybody. The Eternal Father forgiving everybody through his Son Jesus. This is a truly expression of God's love for all of us, because God the Father forgives us through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross. And our Lord Jesus forgives those who brought him to the cross. In this, we also see that Jesus is the new Abel, that this sacrifice is truly received. In the book of Genesis, we find Abel and Cain. They offer sacrifice to God, but only the sacrifice of Abel was accepted. We find the new Abel, that his sacrifice was accepted. Unfortunately, we also see the new Cain in the person of Judas. In the person of Judas, who murders the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we find that after Abel offered the sacrifice, Cain was jealous because God accepted that sacrifice, and he murdered his brothers. In the hours of the Passion, we find how the friend, the apostle, he betrayed his Teacher, he betrayed his friend, Judas. With one kiss, you betray the Son of God. These are the words of our Lord Jesus to Judas in the garden. The Blessed Mother, being at the foot of the cross, she had all the reasons. She had all the reasons to be enraged with anger. She had all the human reasons. You go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis describes that after Abel murdered his brothers, after Cain murdered his brother Abel, God gave a new son to Adam and Eve. As the new Abel is offered on the cross, God himself sends his peace and his reconciliation. And in the same way that God received the sacrifice of Abel and it was acceptable, now God receives the sacrifice of the new Abel, of the new Adam, Jesus himself. And through him we have been reconciled. So when we go to the Mass, and I have explained this before, when we go to Mass, we have to see the holy sacrifice of the Mass as that offering that our Lord Jesus is doing to the Father. And at that moment, with this awareness that Jesus is the new Adam, that Jesus is the new Abel. And not only that, but even more, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Father. That by uniting ourselves to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, he's able now to offer each one of us to his Heavenly Father so that our selves be accepted as the sacrifice. So now we don't offer lambs anymore. We don't offer grain. We offer our human will. We offer our human will in union with the will of Jesus to his Father. So that now we become the sacrifice also. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, right at the beginning, we see that the Bible tells us that in the beginning, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the earth, the water. It was moving over. In the sacrament of baptism, the Holy Spirit descends into the soul and moves over. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Father.
Okay. So I was explaining that at the foot of the cross, the Blessed Mother is present, offering herself in union with Jesus, her son. And that the Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus, now they reconcile the whole human race. That in the act of the disobedience, Adam and Eve were present. And by disobeying, they lost all the gifts. They brought enmity between God and the whole human race. Now at the foot of the cross, the new Adam, the new Eve, they are present. Now in obedience, giving themselves to the Heavenly Fathers. And with that, reconciling the whole human race. Mary had to be at the foot of the cross. And I just want to spend a little time talking about the Blessed Mother here. Because we see that the Blessed Mother is at the beginning of the hours of the Passion, and she remains through the hours of the Passion. She's at the foot of the cross, and she ends the hours of the Passion, leaving the body of our Lord Jesus in the tomb. She had to be there because she is the new Eve. She had all the human reasons to be upset, to be angry, losing a son. But instead, she conforms herself to the will of the Fathers. She understands what our Lord Jesus is doing. Because remember, the Blessed Mother possessed the gift of the will of God by grace. She received it at the moment of her conception. She received that gift. So by grace, she lived in the will of God. She had to live in the will of God in the same way that Adam and Eve, they live in the will of God. And I want to give you a reference also tonight about this, because sometimes Adam, who lived in the will of God, and Eve didn't live in the will of God. But our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta exactly about this, that both of them, they live in union with the will of God, that Adam was the head, that he was the recipient of that gift, but both of them, they live in the will of God. And you go to the rounds of creation in the fifth hours. In the fifth hours, our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picaretta that Adam and Eve, they both live in union with his will. You can find that also in hour number 4. So basically it's in 4 and 5 of the rounds of creation. Then you can see how our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picaretta about this, that they both possess the gift of the divine will. But it was Adam who enjoyed primacy over the gift. That's why it is only until Adam eats from that fruit that their eyes are opened. Our Lord Jesus explains also in that passage that he tells Luisa Picaretta how this first mother of ours, Eve, who also remained in unity, in the unity of the divine will, compete with Adam in giving praise, honor, adoration, and glory to God. So the two of them possess the gift, and it was Adam who enjoyed primacy over the gift. With this in mind, we see that our Lord Jesus, he possessed the divine will by nature, because he is God. So this gives him primacy over the whole human race, because he is also human. So by nature, he possessed the gift by nature. So at the foot of the cross, we see again the new Adam possessing the primacy of this gift. And we see the new Eve, the Blessed Mother, in union with the new Adam, giving herself to Father. We see this reconciliation, this explosion of love. We see this explosion of forgiveness. And this is something that we have to, this is something that we have to remember, all of us, as we, somebody, okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's hard to do on your phone.
So it is in living and studying the gift of the divine will, we need to remember that we need to learn from what we see in the hours of the Passion. As we pray, as we meditate the hours of the Passion, we have to learn from all of this. So at the foot of the cross, we see the explosion of forgiveness and love. In the Our Fathers, when we pray, we say, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is very important for all of us. If we want to live in this gift, if we want to come to possess the gift of living in the divine will, we need to forgive. This is a wonderful exercise, a spiritual exercise that we can do during Lent. To forgive. It will be a wonderful healing process for all of us. If you make a little list and you forgive everybody who has harmed you and pray for them, perhaps we also have to pray for all those that we ourselves have harmed in any way or form. But for us, we are studying this gift of living in the divine will. We have to learn from the foot of the cross. That's a wonderful lesson for all of us. Again, that the Blessed Mother, having all the human reasons to be upset, to be angry, she remains in union with our Lord Jesus. In union with our Lord Jesus, even in the midst of that tribulation, that suffering, tremendous suffering, she remains in union and she doesn't hate. Anger is one of the seven deadly sins. As we study the virtues, I explained that the opposite of virtue is sin. That when Adam and Eve, they disobey, it brought tremendous consequences for the soul. So before the soul, excuse me, before the fall, the soul only possessed unity with God. After the fall, the soul was filled with anger, with lust, with gluttony, with laziness, all the seven deadly sins, which are the opposite of the seven, the main virtues. What are the seven main virtues that are the opposite of the deadly sins? We talk about faith, hope, and charity. We talk about prudence, justice, temperance, and strength. The seven major main virtues that we need to possess are the opposite of lust, anger, and pride. See, the devil offers these four main sins: lust, anger, pride, hate. And our Lord offers us strength, prudence, justice, temperance. So we have to see all of this in a spiritual way. That this is the life of the soul. And we have to ascend to that understanding that this is the life of the soul. That the soul becomes infirm, and that the soul became infested, and that the soul became sick with the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But at the foot of the cross, now the soul begins this healing, this reordering. Because at the foot of the cross, the sacrifice of the new Abel is being accepted. Is accepted by the fathers. So with this understanding, we have to also pray with the hours of the Passion. That the Blessed Mother is there. The Blessed Mother is in union with us. That when we receive communion, the Blessed Mother is there in union with us. Mary, in her maternity, she gives herself to the fathers. And by giving herself to the Father, she gives all her children. She offers us also. She offers everything that she is to the fathers in union with Jesus. So at that moment, she's offering us too. She's offering all her children because she's looking to bring back all her children. Remember, Eve lost all the children. By the disobedience, she lost the gifts that belong to all her children. They both lost the gifts. But now our Lord Jesus is bringing this reconciliation, and the Blessed Mother is bringing all of us, all her children, present there. So when we pray the hours of the Passion, we have to have this understanding also that the Blessed Mother is there in union with our Lord Jesus. In the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, this reconciliation happens over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over, this reconciliation happens. In the Blessed Mother, we see all these virtues. In the Blessed Mother, we see all the virtues. So we can say the Blessed Mother is the school of virtues herself. The Blessed Mother is the school of virtues herself. In her, we see the gift of faith. Her hope, her love. We see everything in her So as her children, we have to imitate her again. And she wants us to possess all these virtues. She wants us to possess all these virtues. And she wants us to possess what she possesses, ultimately. What is the gift that she possessed by grace? The gift of living in the divine will, possessing the divine will within us. So that's the point that we have to arrive. That's the point that we have to ascend to the possession of this gift. And this is where the Blessed Mother wants us to arrive to. To have that will, to possess the will of the Father, as she possessed it by grace, and as our Lord Jesus possessed it by nature. We will possess it by grace. We will possess it by grace because it's been offered to us now through these writings. And we will possess it the more we surrender ourselves to the Lord. And during this time of Lent, the church calls us to intensify our prayers, to do penance, to do almsgiving. All these things, they help us to advance into the possession of that gift. Specifically, the hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus, as he moves, as he repairs, in every single hour, and as we unite ourselves with him, repairing with him, uniting ourselves with him, he in return, in exchange, he will help us to arrive to that possession also, to the possession of that gift that he by nature possesses. This is the point that we all have to arrive. This is what we have to be looking forward. Or we have to think spiritually, because it again is the life of the soul. And we possess this gift of living in the divine will in the soul. In the soul. And once we arrive to this understanding and we see that this gift can be given to us, the Lord will do his part. He will help us to be detached of things. He will give us that joy, that strength that he has given to the saints, that peace. So there are three things that he promises to the souls who possess the gift. Peace, detachment, and joy. Detachment from the world, peace, and joy. During this Advent, Lent, and as we read the hours of the Passion, we can also offer the hours of the Passion and apply those specific meditations for souls in purgatory, or we can apply for somebody else. Our Lord Jesus promised Luisa Picaretta that he will give a soul from purgatory for every single letter, every single word that is in the hours of the Passion. Through the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the whole world was reconciliated. The whole human race was reconciliated. So it is through the hours of the Passion that we also obtain many graces. So I want to encourage all of you during this Lenten season to meditate with the hours of the Passion in whatever way you can. You can meditate them daily, that's great. You can meditate them every Friday, that's great. But as long as you meditate them and you unite yourselves with the passion of our Lord Jesus, and to have the understanding that, yes, it is through his sacrifice that we have been reconciled to God, that he has undone what Adam and Eve did in the garden. So this tree, by eating from the tree, from the forbidden tree that was in the garden, they lost the gift. Now, us, by eating from the tree of life, which is the cross, which is the Eucharist, we gain eternal life. By eating from the fruit of that tree, now we attain eternal life. And this is the Eucharist. Blood and water from the side of Jesus. At the foot of the cross, Jesus offered himself to the Father. He offered his blood to the Father. And the Blessed Mother offers her virginal and maternal tears. So that water, look at this, is exactly what happens in the Eucharist. The priest offers wine mixed with a drop of water, and later on becomes the blood of Christ. Jesus offering himself to the Father, his blood, himself, all scorched on the cross. The Blessed Mother offers her maternal and virginal tears. A perfect sacrifice to the Father. The perfect offering to the Father that is acceptable. So how blessed we are to know, how blessed we are to know this gift, that now through this gift of living in the divine will, we are able to possess that gift that the Blessed Mother and Jesus himself possess. That the Blessed Mother wants her children to possess what she possessed. That she is gaining for us what Eve lost. And it is up to us to receive it. It is up to us to make it ours. But there is a path again. The divine law. The virtues that we have to acquire by repetition. But we also have a great consolation because the Blessed Mother is the school of virtues herself. And she will teach us. That's why it's very important to be faithful to her in the Rosary. Because she will bestow upon us all the virtues that we need. She will give us what she herself possessed. She knows that we also experience suffering. And she doesn't want us to be infested with anger. She knows exactly how difficult it is. So we have to turn to her. So this is a great exercise that we can do during Lent too, to make a list of how they have harmed us and to just forgive them. Whenever we feel the inclination of becoming upset or any other inclination, sinful inclination, turn to the Blessed Mother and ask the Blessed Mother to help you. Tell her, Blessed Mother, the serpent has beaten me with this and this and this. Heal me. I've been beaten by the serpent, Blessed Mother. Heal me. Heal me. And she will heal you. Ask our Lord Jesus, look at the cross and tell our Lord Jesus, the serpent has beaten me. Heal me. In the Old Testament, when the people were beaten by the serpents, God ordered Moses to make a pole and to mount on the pole an image of the serpent, and everybody who looked at it was healed. Now we have to look at the cross. Through his wounds, we have been healed. The prophet Isaiah says, through his wounds, we have been healed. So we just have to claim for our Lord Jesus and to ask him to heal us, to recognize that we have been beaten, to protect us. So it is very important that to understand that the role of Blessed Mother, it is essential as we meditate the hours of the Passion, because she is the new Eve. She is the mother of our soul. And she wants us to possess the gift that Eve lost for her children. So as you meditate the hours of the Passion during this Advent, during this Lenten season, try to keep this in mind and know that the Blessed Mother is there. These hours of the Passion, they bring many graces to everybody. I'm going to ask Barbara to read, I think it's the end of paragraph of letter 51. And in this, Luisa Picarreta talks a little bit about the hours of the Passion and how important it is to read them.
You ready, Father? I recommend the hours of the Passion form continuous chains of reparation around Jesus. Unite all your actions to them so that this sweet chain of reparation may never be broken. These times require it if we don't want to be spectators of worse evils. Promote it as much as you can. Commending myself to your prayers, I pray to Jesus that he may bless you and give you peace.
Thank you, Barbara. So that's what Luisa Picarreta says about the hours of the Passion. Also, Lord, in volume 13, October 1916, the Lord says that the angels have a special office. And he says, as the soul recalls my life, my Passion, my prayers, he says, they place themselves around the soul, gathering her words, her prayers, the compassion she shows me, her tears, her offenses, uniting them to mine. They carry them off to my majesty as to renew for me the glory of my own life and the angels enjoy it so much that they reverently stay near to that soul, gathering her prayers with attention and respect as the soul makes the hours of the passion, while remembering that the angels hang upon her every word as to repeat it after her. So what our Lord Jesus is telling us that as we meditate the hours of the passion, the angels themselves, they are there waiting for us to repeat those words, to carry them into heaven as pearls. Because these are the words of Jesus himself. This is Jesus himself speaking. This is not a meditation. This is one of the things that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta also, that is different about the hours of the passion, that these are no meditations of the saints. And I don't want to discredit the meditations of the saints. We have the Stations of the Cross. But these revelations of the 24 hours of our Lord Jesus is our Lord Jesus himself speaking. And when we do them, it's our Lord Jesus speaking through us. That's why they are so precious. The Lord says that even the angels, they stand around in ecstasies, waiting for us to say those words, to bring them into heaven. So it is a beautiful way to see all this meditation. So I want just to encourage all of you to try to meditate them and to make them part of your spiritual life. And in this way, you will advance. You will advance in your relationship with the Lord, in unity with the Lord. You will attain that unity that we all are called to possess, the unity of living in his will. That should be the goal for all of us, to be more perfectly united to his will with every action, with every prayer, at every moment. This is what the Blessed Mother wants. This is what our Lord Jesus wants for us. This is what was intended for us from the beginning. When God created us, it was intended that we live in the possession of his will, that we may possess this as a gift, as a part of life. We lost it, but we have recovered it through the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And through these writings, now we have the knowledge of how to attain it. It is up to us. We have to move our will. We have to do everything we can that we may receive this gift. So with this, we finish tonight our little class tonight. And I'm sorry for all the troubles with the internet. Hopefully I can fix that next week and we can connect and we don't have any problems. But thank you very much, everybody who were praying during these couple of Sundays that we were not here. Thank you very much for your prayers. And I want to let you know that I carry you in my prayers too. That every day at the sacrifice of the Mass, you are all of there, all the students. I pray for all the people who connect and you are all there. Every day at the sacrifice of the cross, I bring all of you with me. So thank you very much. And keep studying the Book of Heaven. Keep meditating the hours of the Passion. And we are all united in this spirituality, in this gift. Okay? Let us finish with the Hail Mary tonight. Let us ask the Blessed Mother to give us her protection. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed are thou
among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb,
Jesus. Holy
Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our
death. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't know if there are questions. We can devote a couple of minutes for questions.